Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle, and a new hour of it begins right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. I am Ben Stevens, alongside the mastermind of the pigskin. He is Joe Lisi. Lisi, we are back for another full hour. Excited to talk some football with you and more breaking news out of the NFL just moments ago. The Dolphins have been disciplined for violating the NFL's integrity of the game rules, and we will see some discipline affect Miami in the future.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. I mean, right now, you know, just NFL, college football, you know, long term, Ben, I'm chomping at the bit because it's good to be talking football. Finally, the final stretch run, 20 days away from everything, from really kicking off the season. I can't wait.
Me as well. And I look forward to when we're just breaking down games in like week 9 and what the matchups look like, as opposed to all the offseason issues we have seen, or the off-the-field issues, I should say, we have seen in the last few days. Of course, very serious matters and should not be demeaned by any means, but we'll look at that right now, Joe, because the NFL has docked the Miami Dolphins a first-round pick and a future the first round selection in the 2023 NFL draft from Miami and a third round selection in 2024. Also, they have suspended team owner Stephen Ross through October 17th, 2022. Through this period, he may not be present at the Dolphins facility and may not represent the club at any NFL or team meeting. He also is fined $1.5 million. These all have to do with the integrity of the game violations the NFL investigated for the Dolphins following the Brian Flores lawsuit and the allegations he made against his former employer in Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins. And the integrity of the game violations have to do with tampering and the idea that Miami tanked to lose football games to improve its draft position in the 2019 season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. I'm a big Brian Flores backer. I think he should still be head coach. I really do. Sure. And the fact that he didn't like Tua was a main reason why they ran him out of town. And I said this in terms of preparation and game plan. He went toe-to-toe with the best head coach in terms of modern day in the AFC, and that's Bill Belichick. Knocked him off twice last year. And because he didn't feel Tua was mentally prepared as being the leader of this team or this offense, he wanted to go in a different direction or was willing to pull the trigger on Ryan Fitzpatrick or another quarterback that gave his team an opportunity to win ball games. And if Stephen Ross turned to Brian Flores and said, "I want you to tank, you know what? Don't own a team. Please, can we stop with these guys?" We always think about it. You know, do they love the game of football, or are they just rich individuals that want to have something else in terms of a revenue stream? Because at the end of the day, right, if you're an owner of a franchise or an organization, you want to see that team win. You hire a coach that you believe can take your team to the next level. If that coach says we need to do A, B, and C, who are you to say that? You put him in a position to lead this team. Now, it all comes down to dollars and cents. And this is why I really can't stand the NFL. This is the one area of the NFL I think absolutely sucks. This is why I buy into the college game, because at the end of the day, they do care about winning a national championship as opposed to how much money is going in their pocket.
And here's what the investigation by the NFL focused on in terms of the integrity of the game policy violations by the Miami Dolphins. First, whether the Dolphins violated league rules prohibiting tampering with a player and a coach under contract to other clubs. And then number two, whether during that 2019 campaign, the Dolphins intentionally lost games to improve the club's draft position in the 2020 draft, and whether Dolphins chairman and managing general partner, Mr. Stephen Ross, offered head coach Brian Flores financial incentives or otherwise encouraged him to lose games. So they found that the Dolphins did violate the anti-tampering policy on three separate occasions. Two, in impermissible communications and conversations with Tom Brady. First, while he was a member of the Patriots in 2019, and then second when he was a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just last season. Some of those conversations with Tom last year were about joining the Dolphins and having an executive position under Stephen Ross for that Dolphins front office, but also did focus on Tom Brady potentially playing for Miami as well. And the third violation was with Sean Payton. When the Dolphins contacted Sean Payton's representative, that would be his agent, Don Yee, about a potential coaching job for the Miami Dolphins before Sean Payton had retired from the New Orleans Saints. You are not allowed to contact a coach about another coaching gig while he still has a job. So three different violations from that standpoint, Joe, in terms of anti-tampering. Now, the tanking representation here was a little bit different. The investigation conclusively established the following. First and foremost, the Dolphins did not intentionally lose games during the 2019 season, nor did anyone at the club, including Mr. Ross, instruct Coach Flores to do so. No witness contended otherwise. The Dolphins competed hard to win every game, including at the end of the season when they beat Cincinnati and New England, despite worsening Miami's position in the 2020 draft. Now, Brian Flores was the first coach for the Dolphins since the early 2000s to lead them to back-to-back winning seasons, which he did in 2020 and 2021. He also had an against the spread record, Joe, that we'll discuss on the other side, that was always above 500 despite the fact that his teams struggled to win football games. If you're covering spreads, as we always say, you are a competitive football team. We'll get into more of this Miami Dolphins situation and violating the integrity of the game NFL policies up next here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on Football Full Circle. More breaking news here on FFC out of the NFL. The Miami Dolphins have their 2023 first-round draft pick and their 2024 third-round draft pick taken away because of violations of the NFL's integrity of the game policies, all having to do with tampering on multiple occasions with both Tom Brady while he was a member of the Patriots and then the Buccaneers last season and Sean Payton as a member or the head coach, rather, of the New Orleans Saints last year as well before he retired from that position. Also, the tanking allegations that were issued by Brian Flores during the 2019 season for the Miami Dolphins. And, Joe, we were diving in to what all of this had to say and what all of this means now for Miami. And you mentioned, when did this happen? When was he asked, or when did Stephen Ross mention that idea that the 2019 season and that overall record for the Dolphins in that year was not as important as the 2020 Miami Dolphins first round draft pick in that draft order? Well, we have the word that on numerous occasions throughout the 2019 season, Stephen Ross made those comments known to members of the team, and that allowed Brian Flores to be concerned that they were suggestions that he should lose football games. And then at that point, after those comments were expressed by Brian Flores to executives within the Miami Dolphins front office, reportedly, according to this from the NFL, those remarks from Stephen Ross came to a close, but they seemed to be at least a topic of conversation throughout most of the 2019 season for the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, exactly. And think about this. I just went back, and I know I broke down this stat a while ago. Here are the first four games of the 2019 season for the Miami Dolphins. They lose week one to Lamar Jackson in Baltimore 59-10. 50. That wasn't a Big Ten MAC game. That was an NFL Week 1 matchup. 59-10. They follow that up with a Week 2 game against New England. 43-0 they get shut out. Then they get blasted by Dak Prescott and the Cowboys 31-6. And the Chargers beat their ass 30-10 in the first 4 weeks of the season. They scored 26 points and gave up well over .170. So think about that for a second. I mean, 110 points they got in terms of the margin of defeat over four games. That's almost 25, 26 per game. So that's why I say, when did Stephen Ross say that? Because if you look at the first four games of the regular season in 2019, it certainly looks like that team wasn't trying. I mean, I don't care how bad they are. You're telling me NFL players are going to give up 59 points week number one? It does seem like somebody was tanking to me. It wasn't week 17. It was week one, when there should be optimism, when there should be preparation. I mean, that is really serious allegations. That's why I want to take it a step further. We need to understand when this came down, and we need to dig a little bit deeper from Brian Flores and find out, hey, coach, when did Ross sit your ass down and tell you? That's what I want to know, because everybody needs to know. I mean, we're gambling on these games. It's public perception. It's about product. If Calvin Ridley gets 17 games from gambling on NFL games that was legal at that time in the state of Florida, why doesn't Ross get banned for a year?
He is suspended through 6 weeks this year and is not allowed to be on any committees with the National Football League, and may not appear as a representative of the club or the NFL for some time as well. We'll get into all this punishment, but let's talk about the tanking allegations, because that was the story when Brian Flores sued the National Football League and Stephen Ross. So when we get to that, Joe, in terms of the idea of tanking here, the investigation of the NFL conclusively established the following: the Dolphins did not intentionally lose games during the 2019 season, nor did anyone at the club, including Mr. Ross, instruct Coach Flores to do so. However, they go to the second bullet point. On a number of occasions, again, during the 2019 season, Mr. Ross expressed his belief that the Dolphins' position in the upcoming 2020 draft rather, should take priority over the team's win-loss records. And that is when Coach Flores was troubled and led him to express concerns in writing to senior club executives, each of whom assured Coach Flores that everyone, including Mr. Ross, supported him in building a winning culture in Miami. After this, Mr. Ross no longer made any such comments to Coach Flores. One such comment is a claimed offer by Mr. Ross to pay Coach Flores $100,000 to lose games, as to which there are differing recollections about the word, timing, and context. However phrased, such a comment was not intended or taken to be a serious offer, nor was the subject pursued in any respect by Mr. Ross or anyone else at the club. So the tanking allegations aren't necessarily founded by the NFL's investigation. Obviously troubling, obviously concerning, and certainly so in the case of Brian Flores and his relationship then with the owner of the football team that he coached for and members of the front office. The tampering allegations were all found to be true violations of the integrity of the game policy in the NFL. And I think, Joe, that is what leads to the suspension of Stephen Ross, Miami losing their 2023 first-round draft pick, and the 2024 third-round draft pick. Those tampering violations is what stood up, according to the NFL in NFL's investigation, not the tanking allegations that Brian Flores brought.
Yeah, I just did it. 163-26, first four games. Average margin of defeat, 34.2 points per game. Those are NFL numbers, not college. We're not talking Power 5 versus Group of 5. This is the NFL. Something doesn't sit well with me. I've been a Dolphin fan, I'll say it again, since the days of Don Strock and Tommy Vigorito and the Killer Bees with David Woodley. I mean, at the end of the day, it sickens me that my franchise has an owner that wants to tank. We had a head coach that actually coached up the defense for a change and knocked off Bill Belichick, one of the best coaches in the AFC and the NFL for that matter, and went his ass out of town because he didn't buy into his starting quarterback Tua that Daniel Ross loved. He better step up this year, I'll tell you that right now, because he still owns the team number one. If Tua doesn't get this team to the playoffs, I want him out as well, because he's not the answer. And if we're not going to put in a coach that has autonomy, that's why Matt Rhule didn't take the job with the New York Giants, because of autonomy. I'm not saying he's he's doing great with Carolina right now. But if you're not going to give full reins to these head coaches, what are we doing? Why own an organization? You don't know about football. You never played football, Stephen Ross. Come on, get real now.
Absolutely so. That's what we're discussing here. Somebody in Stephen Ross violating the integrity of the game. You can't do that. You can't do that. And again, the integrity of the Shield will always be the utmost concern of the National Football League. And Joe, you're not going to allow from other owners, because let's face it, other owners are the big story here. When any allegations or violations take place off the field that disrupt the integrity of the brand, of the game, of the Shield, other owners are going to have the final say. It's why Dan Snyder has been able to skate around to still own the Washington Commanders franchise. It's why Robert Kraft was not punished for any of his off-the-field issues that he had, because you don't want to set a precedent among other owners. But what pisses off owners? If another owner tries to take something from them. So when you're Stephen Ross actively trying to poach a divisional opponent's quarterback, that would be Tom Brady when he played for the Patriots in 2019, and then you try to do it 2 years later when he's in the same state in Tampa Bay, yeah, that's going to make both the owners in Robert Kraft of the Patriots and the owners of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers very, very upset. And then, oh yeah, you try to poach a rival head coach in Sean Payton, who was working for New Orleans at the time. That's going to piss off everybody associated with the Saints organization. When owners piss off other owners, that's when you have real issues, and that's often when you're met with real discipline. We'll continue the conversation on the other side of the break as we're coming up on it here on Football Full Circle, but that's what leads to a six-week suspension of Stephen Ross. That's what leads to two draft picks being taken and stripped from the Miami Dolphins, the 2023 first-rounder and the 2024 third-rounder. It's a very important conversation of how it will affect the Dolphins moving forward, Joe, and we'll get to that up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle never stops because the NFL news cycle never stops. After the Deshaun Watson suspension was handed out yesterday, six games as of this point for the 2022 NFL season, the NFL gives us another bit of breaking news here on Football Full Circle. They are taking away a 2023 first-round draft pick from the Miami Dolphins, a 2024 third-round draft pick from the Miami Dolphins. They are suspending owner Stephen Ross for 6 weeks through October 17th, 2022. He is not allowed to represent the team or any represent the club at any team or NFL event, and he cannot attend any league meeting prior to the annual meeting in 2023, and is removed from all league committees indefinitely and fined $1.5 million, all because of tampering and potential tanking allegations, but violations of the NFL's integrity of the game policy, all having to do, Joe, with those tampering allegations that were founded to be an actual violation. That would be their reaching out to Tom Brady in 2019 and in 2021 when he was a member of the Patriots and the Buccaneers, respectively. And last season, reaching out to Sean Payton and his representation while Sean was currently employed as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. However, those tanking allegations were not founded in the NFL's investigation. And here's what I will say. Again, Brian Flores is the first coach since the early 2000s to lead the Miami Dolphins to back-to-back winning seasons. He did that in 2020 and in 2021. He did not listen or even take into consideration Stephen Ross's suggestions in 2019 that they should lose football games to improve their draft order. Why do I know that? Because as we say, Joe, in this industry, good teams win, great teams cover. And if you're a great team that's covering numbers, when you're booked as an underdog, that means you are showing grit, you are showing fight, and you are showing competitiveness. The Dolphins were 9-7 against the spread in 2019. 9-7 ATS, and in all 16 games, Lisi, booked as an underdog. How did Miami follow that up in 2020? An 11-5 against the spread record, the best cover percentage in the entire NFL, and then added on one more winning season for you out there in profitability terms with a 9-7-1 against the spread record in 2021. Obviously, the relationship between Brian Flores and Stephen Ross and the Dolphins front office soured at a certain point. But one thing you cannot take away from Brian Flores is he is a coach that knows how to get his guys to compete and fight and ultimately win football games. That's what he did in 3 years in Miami.
And he was a sign of strength, in my opinion. And you know what? He rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but that doesn't matter. You know why? Brian Flores wanted to win football games, and I have no problem with that. As a fan, as a guy that wants to see his team win, that's what I want out of my head coach. He's willing to roll the dice, to pull the starter like Tua to win at all costs. Why don't I want that guy as my head coach? And not only that, against the better head coaches, he stepped up. Now, I understand their lack of success last year. They went 1-7, and then he went on a seven-game heater, and then they lost a final regular season game to Tennessee, and they were out on the outside looking in. But at the end of the day, he had his teams prepared for the most part. He was willing to put those players in that cared about wins and losses, and you know what? A lot of players didn't like him. That's okay, because it was his way, and that's what I want out of the head coach. I don't want the inmates running the asylum. I want a signature guy that understands, hey, this is what's needed to win. I did it in New England. I want to bring it to Miami. You haven't won a title in God knows how long, since 1972. I mean, come on now. Let's get it done. We're headed in the wrong direction if we're letting Stephen Ross run this franchise for the next 5 or 10 years. I want an owner and I want a head coach that wants to win now and doesn't want to wait until 5 years down the road.
Once you're an owner, though, in the NFL, there's very little the league can do to take that from you. A six-game suspension right now, a fine of $1.5 million. That's chump change to Stephen Ross, although the figure is rather large. He would have to sell the team, and I don't know if he's in the business of doing that right now, Lisa. A new head coach in Miami for this upcoming season, of course, in Mike McDaniel. A win total for the Dolphins at 8.5, and the quarterback this year is Tua Tagovailoa. He will be throwing to plenty of tools offensively. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. There have been videos out of training camp of Tua airing it out and hitting Tyreek Hill in stride, because that has been a topic of conversation throughout this offseason. Does Tua have the arm strength? I think he is showing he certainly does. However, Joe, you mentioned this a little bit ago. If Tua is not the guy, the Dolphins must quickly look to the future. Well, how do they do that if they don't have a 2023 first-round draft pick in what is going to be a really good quarterback draft class coming out in 2023? That's an actual immediate impact taking away that 2023 first-round draft pick now has on the Dolphins.
Yeah, do they look to free agent market? You know, I actually think, you know, if Miami's proactive, maybe you roll the dice for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll tell you what, I would take Jimmy Garoppolo as the face of the franchise if Tua is not the answer, because I think he's at least an experienced quarterback. The defense is good. You have an offensive-minded head coach in Mike McDaniel for the most part, right? We don't know what to expect from him going this year and beyond, but at the end of the day, you get a veteran that can at least hold you over to 2024. If it's not Tua, you can move on. What about Jimmy Garoppolo? Give him all this year to relax and stay behind Tua. Let's trade for him. And now we might have a bridge gap quarterback until 2024. At least maybe Jimmy G could get us over the hump in South Beach. I think that's a perfect scenario. The Jimmy Garoppolo in Miami for 2023. As a Dolphin fan, I have no problem with that.
And we'll see what it looks like in 2022, because again, Joe, there is maybe some hope for the Dolphins, but they're plus 140 to make the playoffs right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That is the 10th best price to make the postseason. To think about how competitive the AFC is going to be this year, truly a gauntlet. Plus 140 is not the longest number for a team in these preseason months to make a postseason run. Their win total is 8.5 yet again for Miami. To get to 9 wins, that's above 500. To get to 10 wins for the Dolphins right now is plus 115. You would think, Joe, a 10-7 football team at some point is contending for a wild card spot. But that goes to show the plus 140 playoff price, how competitive the AFC is going to be this year. And how does that factor in, a postseason berth or not, to the long-term future conversation for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, think about this. They're going to have to go up against the Buffalo Bills. They're at a significant disadvantage. I don't care about the skill skilled talent that they have. They are at a significant disadvantage when it comes to the interior to the Buffalo Bills. There's two losses right there. We know that Bill Belichick owns rookie coaches. Brian Flores was able to do it because he understood the strengths and weaknesses of Bill. Are we giving that edge to Mike McDaniel right now? I'm not. So there's two losses against the New England Patriots right now. So now they're 0-4 in the division. You want to give them a split against Salah and the New York Jets? Okay, they're 1-5 in the division. Now we have to look at a conference. I mean, that's not an easy schedule that they have. With or without Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, that's still a tall order. And does the defense take a major step back with Mike McDaniel being an offensive-minded head coach? These are all types of situations that we're going to have to see play out, and you'll know within the first 4 weeks of the regular season. So at the end of the day, I hate to say it, I think we're still 8-9 overall. I think we missed the playoffs, and the pressure is on Tua right now. They've made enough cause of concern. They've given him the keys to the bus, and there is no margin of error anymore. There are no excuses. You got Brian Flores out of town. It's do or die. Playoffs are bust. If Tua can't do it, give me another quarterback that can.
And we'll see what happens in 2023 if that is the case. But again, the reason it is impactful is because the Dolphins will not have their first-round pick for the 2023 NFL draft because of these tampering violations, the integrity of the game violations that the Dolphins have been found by the NFL's investigation to have broken those standards and codes in the National Football League. So tons of conversation, Joe, around the NFL today. One of the points that I find very interesting is the NFL's assertion in their investigation and in their conclusion that Stephen Ross, who often talked to many people across the organization, including Coach Flores in 2019, that the win-loss record was not nearly as important as the team's draft position for the 2022 NFL draft, was just kind of like whatever. It was just assumptions. Nothing should be founded. It's almost like he was like, I'm joking. Don't listen to me, but listen to me, but don't listen to me, but listen to me. If your boss tells you something, even if it sounds tongue-in-cheek, you're going to take it to heart and you're going to take it seriously. So the fact that that wasn't really seen as tanking assumptions is interesting to me.
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Do you think they tanked or don't you think they tanked? Do you believe Brian Flores or don't you? And I have to be honest with you. Brian Flores, to me, is a no-nonsense guy. I believe him. And love him or hate him, he was a guy that wanted to win. That's all that mattered to me. When you have a head coach that wants to win, he's going to win at all costs within the rules. And that's what Brian Flores did. And people didn't like that because it went against the mindset or the culture that Stephen Ross wanted to do. Let's sort of leverage for position. But did Stephen Ross know that getting a potential draft pick or quarterback was going to take the team to the next level? Is he that much of a college football guru to know that? Absolutely not. He went with his heart because he has the money to say so and push around the head coach like Brian Flores. That's what bothers me about this situation, and I can't stand it. It really sickens me to know that there's owners that could care less whether teams overall win or compete at an elite level. Don't own a team then.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing about it, is when the owner of a team expresses his opinions and his thoughts, that's almost taken as the law of the land because he owns a team. He has the final say from that financial standpoint. So the idea that he was just kind of joking and that idea wasn't taken seriously, or his words should not have been taken seriously, is a very interesting stretch for me to, that the NFL investigation made. We'll continue on Football Full Circle up next here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Lisey, we have a statement from Dolphins owner Stephen Ross in response to the NFL's investigation that stripped the Miami Dolphins of a 2023 first-round draft pick, a 2024 third-round draft pick, suspended their owner, Stephen Ross, for 6 weeks through October 17th of this year, and fined him $1.5 million. The statement from Stephen Ross reads as as such. Quote, the independent investigation cleared our organization of any issues related to tanking and all of Brian Flores' other allegations. As I have said all along, these allegations were false, malicious, and defamatory, and this issue is now put to rest. With regards to tampering, I strongly disagree with the conclusions and the punishment. However, I will accept the outcome because the most important thing is that there be no distractions for our team as we begin an exciting and winning season. I will not allow anything to get in the way of that, end quote. Sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me, Steven. You can't appeal the suspension, so you have no choice but to accept it and still to deny when the NFL investigation found you guilty of breaking those violations and the integrity of the NFL game's conduct policies. Doesn't matter what you have to say, Steven. You're suspended, and you lost two draft picks. That's that.
Yeah, and he put his team at a significant disadvantage when other teams in the AFC East are getting better. So as Dolphin fans, you can't be happy. It's win or get off the pot. That's the way we say it. Win now or get off the pot. Stephen Ross, you know what? You put your hands in the cookie jar. He's not an experienced football guy. I could see if he was Jerry Jones, where Jerry Jones played at Arkansas. At least he has some football acumen. Stephen Ross, I mean, at the end of the day, please stop already. Put this franchise back on top from the days of where Don Shula had this organization, undefeated record, best team in terms of the NFL for years. Come on now. It's been years since Dan Marino walked on the field in the early 2000s. I'm tired of it already. Let's get back to winning ball games.
And we'll see, as Stephen Ross says, what winning ball games look like this year as the Dolphins are about to begin, in his quote, an exciting and winning season. 8.5 is that win total for Miami. The over has the juice at -135. That will be the conversation because for Miami this year, Joe, as we have mentioned numerous times now, to make the postseason a +140, relatively long odds given where everybody stacks up in this conference this year and how competitive it is going to be. And the Dolphins are +450. Sure, it's the second best price to win the AFC East, but that's because the Bills are -220, heavy, substantial odds on favorite. The best odds of any team to win any division within the AFC. It is going to be a long path for the Dolphins this year.
It is. And again, you know, they may be able to outscore opponents this year because of Jalen Waddle and obviously Tyreek Hill. But at the end of the day, where's that defense going to be under Mike McDaniel? Again, he's a good offensive mind. Is he elite? Only time will tell. If they hit the ground running and Tua throws for over 4,500 yards, 35 touchdowns with 5 interceptions, I'll eat my words right now. But if he reverts back to what we saw maybe in year number one, where he was pulled for Ryan Fitzpatrick, then guess what? And Stephen Ross was wrong, and he needs to reassess the situation.
And we'll see what happens in 2022 for the Miami Dolphins. Elsewhere around the league, Joe, we focus so much on the off-the-field issues these last couple of days, but the NFL continues to tick on, and training camp is certainly underway across the National Football League. What stories have stood out to you on the actual football field from what you have seen in practice so far?
Well, you know, I just watched Mike Tomlin and Najee Harris. I'll tell you what, you know, maybe I have a bad read on Pittsburgh right now. I really want to address this team in the first 4 weeks of September. They're 6-point dogs against the Cincinnati Bengals. But Najee Harris looks like a beast. I mean, he's poised for another breakout season. Where does Trubisky and Kenny Pickett go in terms of the quarterback battle? That is one team that I want to take another look at in the preseason, but more importantly, heading into week number one, because if it is Mitch Trubisky and that defense reverts back to form where they were even 3 or 4 years ago, when they were holding opposing offenses under 4 yards per carry, maybe you are looking at a wild card contender with Mike Tomlin and the crew. I'm still under their 7.5 win total, but I will be taking a deeper look at Pittsburgh this year.
It will be a very, very interesting conversation around the Pittsburgh Steelers all season long. Why? Because is Kenny Pickett or Mitchell Trubisky, despite maybe some of the struggles that Trubisky has had in the past, or the fact that Kenny Pickett is a rookie entering his first year in the NFL in 2022, are they worse in a production standpoint than an aging Ben Roethlisberger was each of the last 2 years, and the Steelers still made it to the postseason each of those last two seasons. And although Ben Roethlisberger is gone, the consistency of Mike Tomlin entering year 16 as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers has remained the same in his first 15 years. The Steelers have won at least 8 games, all 15 of the seasons, under Mike Tomlin. Their win total is 7.5. If they win 8 games this year, Joe, doesn't necessarily mean that Pittsburgh is a playoff team, because they could go 8-9 and still be under 500, but it would put them on a much better path to do that. And you would have to think, from a track record standpoint, it's a good start.
Yeah, and is Kenny Pickett playing at the end of the season, and is he poised for starting in 2023? That is going to be the biggest question. Or does Mitch Trubisky hit the ground running and is potentially a comeback player of the year candidate with this team, leading them to a playoff appearance, or even more importantly, a division title? Everybody's looking at Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. We happen to like Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, and obviously the situation unfolding in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, but Pittsburgh is sort of flying under the radar right now, which, if you're Mike Tomlin, you sort of like, right? You don't want all the media hype on your team. It's like, okay, nobody thinks that we can make it back to the playoffs. We have uncertainty potentially at the quarterback position, but maybe I could just sneak out a 10 or an 11 win season and strike an upset along the way. I love Mike Tomlin. I think he's a player's coach, but at the end of the day, one of the most underrated game planners in terms of the NFL. He's been there for a long time, Super Bowl winner, and at the end of the day, if anybody could get this team over the 7.5 wins, it is, in fact, Tomlin. I do want to see, though, how Pickett progresses, and does he pick up the scheme of the offense this season in the first month of September? We'll know in terms of preseason action when we see Kenny Pickett under center in the month of August.
The Steelers have the longest odds right now out of the four teams in the AFC North. Pittsburgh is plus 950. The Ravens are the favorites at plus 170. Then the Bengals at plus 200 and the Cleveland Browns at plus 230. Those three top teams all within 60 cents of each other. It should show you, just from that odds indicator, that it is going to be a competitive AFC North division in 2022. In fact, Joe, 6 of the 8 best odds to win an AFC championship right now all hail from the AFC West and the AFC North. 6 of the 8 best odds from 2 divisions. Can all of those teams make the postseason as they play each other 6 times a year within your own division? Will they beat up on one another enough that the overall record suffer from a wild card perspective? That will be something to follow all year long within the AFC. And Joe, part of training camp is scrolling through your phone and seeing these small updates that happen as it relates to your favorite team or a team you're following in the NFL, and hopefully not, but injury concerns that arise on a daily basis out at practice. That was the case for the Buccaneers just within the last couple of hours. It looked like right tackle Tristan Wirfs, according to Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, was carted off the field. Josh Wells then came in at right tackle, but he was told it was nothing serious with Wirfs. It turned out to just be cramps. However, that's a scary situation for one of the best young offensive linemen in the entire National Football League. In his 2 years since coming out of Iowa, Joe has hardly let Tom Brady even be touched off that right side.
Yeah, and Leonard Fournette in the running game, right, got going with Tristan Wirfs in that lineup, an athletic player that came in a couple of years ago, solidified the run game in terms of run blocking, provided a foundation for Tom Brady in terms of protecting him. Now we saw a center go down. If Tristan Wirfs is, let's say, not 100%, I'm selling Tampa Bay as potentially maybe the second best team in the conference, because I still believe the LA Rams are head and shoulders above both Green Bay and Tampa Bay respectively. So if they have offensive line concerns and they can't protect Tom Brady early on or run the football with Leonard Fournette, we're not going to see the same type of production with or without Julio Jones and Chris Godwin in that lineup along with Mike Evans. So that is a concern. That's something to monitor. Is it cramps or is it a nagging injury that maybe prolongs his starting week number one? Keep an eye out on that, because they're never going to tell you right here, right now, if he's carted off for cramps. I don't know. Are they carting off players for cramps now? You typically quickly. Yeah. They just put him to the sideline, stretch him out, and he's back in pads, or he's back on the sideline or in the huddle within a couple of minutes, maybe 20 minutes tops. He's not back in the locker room getting x-rays. So that's something to monitor this offseason.
It'll also be interesting to see if Tom Brady speaks after practice one of these next couple of days and is asked about what just went on with the Miami Dolphins, because, of course, he is named numerous times in terms of those tampering violations that the Dolphins did back in 2019 and 2021 in terms of trying to court Tom Brady and poach him from first a divisional opponent in the New England Patriots in 2019 and then again in 2021 when he was the quarterback for the Buccaneers. If he will be asked at all about that, what he will have to say about those conversations with Dolphins owner Stephen Ross and the executives for the Miami Dolphins. Tampa Bay this year, Joe, the favorites to win the NFC Championship at plus 320, heavy favorites within that NFC South, but a small bit of movement against that number. They were minus 290 to win the division just a couple of weeks ago. It's only 20 cents off of it, and it's still a very strong number at minus 270, but when the number is that substantial, Joe, it's an indication early on the Bucs should have no issue winning the NFC South.
Well, think about the other quarterbacks that are there now. You have Baker Mayfield in Carolina. You have Jameis in New Orleans. And obviously, you know, the other situation in Atlanta where Mariota taking over a 4.5 win total for the Atlanta Falcons and Des Ridder as well. So there's no doubt Tampa Bay deserves to be the front runner. But if you're going to lay out 3-1 just for them to win the division, I don't think it's great value at the end of the day. You know, if they fall or they start slow, they're no longer going to be there. And what happens if Michael Thomas bounces back to where he was 3 or 4 seasons ago, where he led the NFL in terms of receptions and yards, right? And Jameis just hits the ground running after the ACL. What if New Orleans just takes the world by surprise and starts 4-5-0? I'm not saying they're going to, but if Dennis Allen could do that with that type of defense that knocked off Tom Brady not once but twice last year, who knows? Maybe there is some value in the New Orleans Saints. I'm just saying, we know Kamara. That's another situation. When's Kamara's situation in Las Vegas going to play out? Are we finding that out this week? I mean, that's another piece of the puzzle that we have to see before you potentially bet on the New Orleans Saints.
And I believe there was a report. I have to look into this a little bit more, but I was watching the early line this morning here on the Sports Grid Radio Network that Alvin Kamara's court date in Las Vegas was pushed back by nearly 2 months. So how will that process play out, and what will Alvin Kamara's status be before we get to that point? Plenty that we have touched on here on Football Full Circle. The Saints are plus 350 within the NFC South. There's more to get to as we round out the show in just a couple of minutes. In fact, what appears to be some slightly bad injury news for the Super Bowl favorite Buffalo Bills. We'll look at that up next here as we round out the show today on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple more minutes left here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Lacey, we are going around training camp right now. Actual football practices happening across the National Football League in what has been a helter-skelter news cycle within the NFL. Some tough news for the Buffalo Bills. Jordan Poyer, the all-pro safety, back at practice. He is going to undergo an MRI for a possible hyperextended elbow. That could mean he has dodged anything serious, but he did leave the field holding his arm and was in some pain as he left practice today. So this is all part of that training camp buildup, Joe, leading us into a preseason and a regular season. You hope your all-pro guys, really every player on your roster, can stay healthy throughout training camp. This could be, if it is something serious, a tough loss for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, we saw Micah Hyde nicked up a little bit earlier in the week, right? You know, a lot of concerns about the secondary right now. Last year, Trey White went down. At the end of the day, if you're going to make a Super Bowl run, especially on the defensive side of the ball, you need to have depth. You don't want to see your best players nicked up before they even step out on the field in terms of a week one matchup. So, and they face off against the Super Bowl champs on the road in L.A. against Matt Stafford and the crew. they're going to be challenged. So here's the thing. Buffalo needs to stay healthy. Right now, you're not risking any of the starters on offense. Why risk a lot of the starters on defense? The front seven needs to be legit. I think they'll be there. But the secondary, you know, these guys should not be tackling right now. They should actually get them acclimated, get them more involved as preseason progresses, and then get them involved in games 3 and 4, but not a good look for the Buffalo Bills right now.
It might not seem like it based on that divisional round game between the Chiefs and the Bills where no defense could stop the offense and they were operating at such a high level, but the Buffalo Bills actually led the NFL last year in both scoring and total defense. They look to do the same in 2022. That does it for Football Full Circle today on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Up next is the Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.